Welcome back to Beyond the Uniform. I'm Justin Asiri, and my goal is to help members of the military identify, pursue, and obtain their ideal post-service career. Today's episode number 358, Fit Ops with Matt Hesse.
I'll give you an example of even how a franchise situation fails. I opened my first store in Kansas, and it became really successful very quick. And I had plenty of cash, and I was flying high, buying wakeboard boats and all kinds of stuff that 23-year-olds buy. And this guy came in one day and said, "Hey man, we haven't gotten your tax payment." And I said, "What tax payment? I paid my taxes last year." And he said, "No, your sales tax." And I said, "What's that?" And he's like, "That little number down there in the bottom of the receipt, that's 7.67%. And I was like, "Oh, I don't think my accountant paid that." And he's like, "Your accountant wouldn't pay it. You'd pay it." And I was like, "Oh." And after a year and a half of not paying taxes on $1 million a year revenue store, it was a bad situation. And I had to quickly sell my wakeboard boat to pay my taxes.
Well, there is so much to love about today's interview. First of all, on the professional side, Matt went from the Army and National Guard, an unexpected departure, into opening a series of nutrition supplement franchises that built up skill for him to then start his own company, Performix, actually creating and selling many of these products, and then to his current role with a company called FitOps, which is doing absolutely unbelievable things in the military community, training people physically, mentally, emotionally, and I just loved so much of what Matt had to share in this interview. But apart from that, we cover a lot of ground in this interview. We talk about things like mentorship, finding clarity through, of all things, daydreaming, finding one's purpose through a combination of authenticity, excitement, and discomfort, and letting your gut guide you in decisions. And I love in particular Matt's thoughts about not discounting yourself, not counting yourself out from the dreams and aspirations that you have. This is both an informative interview, but it's also a very inspirational conversation, and I think you'll really enjoy this episode. I want to give a special thanks to the Carlson School of Management, whose financial sponsorship made this interview possible. I want to share a little bit more about them, because while many people talk about supporting the military community, the Carlson School of Management put their money where their mouth was and literally gave us the funds to produce 5 or 6 new episodes, which you'll see in the next couple of weeks. So whether you're transitioning to a civilian career or continuing military service, an MBA from Carlson at the University of Minnesota prepares you for a high-impact career in business. Carlson is committed to the veteran community and provides the benefits, experiential learning, and network to accelerate your career. In addition to a resident tuition waiver, all admitted full-time MBA military candidates receive generous scholarships and stipends to cover expenses that may not be eligible for the GI Bill. If you're interested in learning more, you can email mba@umn.edu. Also in the show notes at beyondtheuniform.org, I'll include this information as well. Thank you so much, Carlson School of Management, for your support. So with that, let's dive in to my conversation with Matt Hesse. Well, special thanks to Tyler Gray from episode 352 for introducing me to today's guest. Joining me in New York, my guest is Matt Hesse. Matt, welcome to Beyond the Uniform.
How you doing? Thanks for having me.
So I want to give listeners a quick background. Matt is doing a lot of things right now. He's the chairman and founder of the FitOps, the CEO of Performix, and the founder and CEO of Core Jensen. He also finds time to serve on an advisory as an advisory council member on the President's Council on Physical Fitness and Sports. He served in the Army and National Guard for nearly 5 years, and was a multi-unit franchise store owner for GNC. Matt, anything to add to that or amend to that?
Loving father.
Loving father, I love it. So maybe to start things off, Matt, You've got a lot going on. If you bumped into someone who served in the military on the streets and they say, "Hey, Matt, what do you do for a living?" How do you answer that?
It's a never changing thing, especially now with COVID going on. It seems like everybody's changing their life around and reprioritizing. And I think first and foremost, I'm a person who tries to find purpose in everything that I do, and I think that's why, you know, my career shifted around a little bit. I'm always pursuing things that I find maybe are less focused on financial gain and more focused on delivering against my desire to serve other people. My answer today would be my first priority is creating a business that does well so I can do good for others. FitOps is to do good for others. I'm in the process now of trying to reprioritize some things so I can spend more time on the mission of veteran suicide and helping others find purpose and the ability to serve in the fitness space.
That's great. One of the things I just want to bookmark for listeners is I love this sense that purpose drives what you're doing. And that can come in a variety of ways. And right now it's earning a good income so that you can contribute to others in other ways. And I think sometimes people think pretty narrowly of like, I need to find either a company or a cause that's directly doing good, which is one way to do it. But another way to do it is to find something where you can generate money and generate good in the world in another way. So I love that distinction. Could you walk us through, once you left the Army and the Army National Guard, what was that first transition like in that first job search out of the military?
I was both fortunate and unfortunate in that my transition from the service ended a bit differently than I thought it would. My mother got into a really bad car accident and was paralyzed from the neck down. In the true sense of compartmentalization of trauma and stress, which I was already good at, I just traumatized myself but further by compartmentalizing all that trauma. And I don't remember a lot of it, honestly, because I was busy taking care of her, trying to fix the situation, also go to college and do my time in the National Guard as well. And so, I think generally speaking, I was somewhat, I won't say lucky, but I had immediately the ability to serve my mom. And so the loss of purpose and the ability to serve for me was quickly transitioned into serving her. So I don't think that I went through what a lot of the vets now are going through in the struggle that they feel trying to figure out what they're going to do with themselves. I think a lot of that comes from the pressure of replacing that really high calling and high return of on investment from a service perspective. It's just really hard to replace that in a typical job.
Mm. I mean, it's unfortunate that the circumstances there. I think it's a powerful reminder. I know I've had guests on the show where they were forced to transition unexpectedly due to personal injury, but you're highlighting an instance where, again, completely outside the realm of expectations, something comes up and pulls one away from service. And so I think it's a good reminder for listeners to always be prepared for that transition. But I love that you're highlighting that at least there was that aspect of both contribution and service that gave you that purpose. And I imagine that helped propel you through a tremendous amount of uncertainty and stress in that time.
Yeah, I don't remember it that well, but I think thinking about all of the vets that I've mentored through their transition now, I'm guessing that it was a time of great stress and strain for me. And I, while I try to teach decompartmentalization as an important tool to healing and finding your way through things, I also think it's an incredible tool to get you through things, which is why the Army teaches you in high pressure situations so that you don't fall apart in those situations. So I'm thankful for that, but I'm also thankful now for the ability to understand the difference and when you need to decompartmentalize from trauma.
And it seems like the first major milestone in your career was with GNC and opening, I'm guessing, your first store. What led you there and what was that like?
I started working in a nutrition store when I was just right after my mom got hurt. I was actually in store buying calcium or something, I think. And I started chatting with the guy that owned the store, and I was going to school, and he said, you want a part-time job? And I said, yeah, man, sure. I'll sling some vitamins for you. So I spent about 2 years while in school writing all the diet programs for all the athletes at school. I lived with a bunch of Cornhuskers at Nebraska. And I kind of became known as the supplement guy on campus. And I just sort of drove around and delivered products at the end of the day. And I took that model. And when I got out of school, I had saved up some money. I had, used the GI Bill to go to school. So I was able to put most of my dollars that I made while in the National Guard and working at nights and weekends, and saved it up and put a down payment on a nutrition store. And I just kept, I ran the same model. I moved to little towns where there were colleges and universities, and I networked in with the athletes and hired them as employees, and sort of kind of hopped around Nebraska and Oklahoma and Colorado doing that for 5 or 6 years. I learned a lot of lessons in that time, managing, commanding 18-year-olds who are not focused on business, but they're focused on like partying and going to college was challenging. And I probably made equal amount of mistakes that I had in success, but it set me up in a bunch of ways to understand how to think about what consumers want, because I spent so much time interacting with them and on the floor. So my success in GNC was, I think, largely just a ton of hustle and grit. And those stores generally aren't super profitable, but I made it work and was able to transition into something else from that.
We've had a couple people on the show who have been in franchises before. What's your take for listeners, just kind of how to think about whether or not to enter into a franchise model?
I think it depends on the person. If you have, if you have a lot of experience in running little businesses from as an employee, I think you can probably start your own thing or do a franchise. Franchises are pretty simple in that they provide a framework and a strategy to run off of, any sort of a plug and play type of thing. I'll give you an example of even how a franchise situation fails. I opened my first store in Kansas and it became really successful very quick. And I had plenty of cash and I was flying high, buying wakeboard boats and all kinds of stuff that 23-year-olds buy. And this guy came in one day and said, "Hey man, we haven't gotten your tax payment." And I said, "What tax payment? I paid my taxes last year." And he said, "No, your sales tax." And I said, "What's that?" And he's like, "That little number down there in the bottom of the receipt, that's 7.67%. And I was like, "Oh, I don't think my accountant paid that." And he's like, "Your accountant wouldn't pay it. You pay it." And I was like, "Oh." And after a year and a half of not paying taxes on $1 million a year revenue store, it was a bad situation that I had to quickly sell my wakeboard boat to pay my taxes. So listen, I think businesses are trial and error. I think the businesses that succeed, they succeed because the person doesn't quit. They grit through it and make it work. And there's been 100 times in my career where I've been up against it. And, quitting has never been an option for me. I've never even thought about it. I've been strained and under stress and pressure and concerned and even scared at times. But I've never felt like, "Oh, I can't get through this. There's no way." And I think back to why the military had made such an impact on me. I think I learned some of those things in those like trauma situations, or those where you're not necessarily trauma, but where you're in high pressure situation and you have to perform. I think those types of situations prepare you for the situations in life where maybe it's not a life or death situation, but they're high pressure, and you know how to again compartmentalize those pressures and execute your job. And so I believe that that's why, I'm so passionate about empowering veterans to get out into the workforce and empowering employees within my own organization, and then also educating CEOs and companies on why they should try to hire veterans within their network because of that leadership and ability to get the job done.
I love it. I hope that listeners are inspired by what you're saying, because you're highlighting determination and grit, which I think are attributes everyone who serves acquires through that process. And you're talking about how that can be the bedrock that drives them through these painful learning experiences that often entail very messy, very public, and very painful mistakes. And so I love that you're highlighting that those taking off their uniform and going on to another career, they already have a fundamental attribute that's going to help them in business, especially in entrepreneurship. I think that's great. So you leave the franchise world. What's like kind of the next milestone for you? What happened next?
So I had made enough money to go screw off and ski for a couple of years. So I went to Colorado and bought a ski house. And at that time, I think maybe it was mid-20s, and I was soul searching, trying to figure out like what I was going to do with my life. Living in the mountains, skiing, I wasn't a ski bum necessarily. I was still working my businesses, but I ended up starting to think about creating a product or a brand. And I tested some stuff when I was in my nutrition stores and decided to create a product. Had never done that before, but was passionate about like design and packaging. And so I just started drawing stuff and came up with an idea and built it and took it into my friends at GNC and pitched it to them, and they liked it. So, I sold it in, and it became top two or three seller in their stores for several years. At that point I was building a company, not a bunch of retail stores. And so it's a whole different set of skill sets. I was thankful and lucky to have an amazing mentor who still is a mentor of mine. He's 90 years old almost now. I learned a lot from him, not necessarily how to run a products company, but more how to navigate scaling and financing and thinking about infrastructure and planning. And a trait of an entrepreneur is to, big vision and big ideas and no idea is a bad idea and going after them and being, that was a lesson I learned in that business, that being, slow, John Cena calls it brick by brick, we'll build the house. When you try to go too fast and you don't take the time to do it right, the house will fall over. And so, I've really become a big believer in that brick by brick strategy, which is partially now what has allowed FitOps to exist, because I was disciplined about it back then.
So I would love your take on this, but what I'm hearing, so I'm a big fan for listeners of the show, of the book So Good They Can't Ignore You by Cal Newport. And one of the concepts he teases out that I think is so helpful in my own life and for veterans is the thought of career capital. You build up career capital and you can trade that in for autonomy or bigger opportunities. So when I, from an external view, Matt, when I hear your story, I hear about you're working in the job while in college and working with your friends and athletes, and you're developing career capital around supplements and around nutrition and around athletics. And then you start the franchise and you build up a lot of career capital around running a business and a retail operation. And then that leads, I'm guessing, to an insight around a product that would do well in that environment. So you're, leveraging the career capital of both supplements as well as retail operations to then bring something new into the world. And I love that kind of stepping stone story, because it's not like you were 18 years old and you said, one day I'm going to start this, performance company. It kind of came from the natural progression of doing the job before you, learning and hustling. And I'm just kind of curious if that tracks with what your experience was or what your take is on that.
Yeah, I mean, I think you know, if you grit up and drive through things, you may not even know consciously why you're doing those things sometimes. But I really am a big believer in that whatever is supposed to happen will happen. And if you have a clear vision of where you want to go, you'll make mistakes getting there. But generally speaking, I followed my gut and my heart, and I always ended up in a good spot. Doesn't mean I didn't make mistakes, and a lot of them actually, but I never quit. I never lost sight of what I wanted to do, what I wanted to be. And, you know, still today I'm evolving that and changing every day and trying to find new ways to disrupt and be better. And, you know, now more specifically focused on empowering veterans and less on a business necessarily, but you know, all of those things that I learned through that sort of stepping stone process, I want to now, you know, package up and help other people find the way to do the same thing. So yeah, you're right. That's exactly right.
And one thing I wanted to ask about, you mentioned this mentor who sounds like he's been very influential in your own career. Do you have any advice for listeners about how to find a mentor and cultivate that relationship?
Yeah, I mean, I think it starts with knowing what you want, right? Like, you know, not meaning knowing what you want out of a mentor, but knowing what you want out of your life and distilling down who you are, and from a moral, ethical, and value perspective, so that you find somebody that aligns with the way that you live your life and you want to live your life, and they've done amazing things in their life. And usually I find that if you have that right, if you have a strong alignment from those you know, three pillars of morals, ethics, and values, and that person that you're looking for has been successful in their life in one regard or another, that you want to have success in your life, usually you'll work well together. And so I think, you know, if I wanted Phil Jackson to be my mentor, it's not like I'd call him up like, hey, Phil, I want you to be my mentor. But I would find a way to find somebody in my network that had the same fundamentals that made Phil Jackson successful, and I'd latch onto them, learn what I can from them, and then you know, you will evolve, and your needs will become different over time, likely, and you'll find new mentors. And I just happened to get lucky and find somebody that had, you know, generations of amazing experience, and you know, he had such an incredible career and life that I was able to. I probably learned more from him telling me and more from watching him. You know, I think to find somebody, like anything else, you gotta have a very clear picture in your head of what you want. And once you have that, it's almost like your subconscious will guide you to it, and you'll find them. But if you're not open to it, if you're not looking for it, if it's not conscious in your, you know, within you, you're never gonna find that, because you're not putting it out there that you want it. And I really believe that it's important to create those sort of stakes in the ground, meaning that you know who you are and what you want. And if you know those things, you will find a way to get there, as long as you have that grit and perseverance. I think that's the really important component to that.
One thing I admire, or that I'm hearing from your story that I really admire, is the clarity and focus. Like you started the interview talking about how it's important to you to have purpose. And so it seems like there's been moments of your life of reorienting and redetermining that purpose and then creating that, or even the clarity for the mentor of knowing the things where you need help and then finding that. I think that a lot of people that listen to the show, and myself included at lots of points in my life, sometimes we struggle to identify what we want, to have that clarity. And I feel like veterans in particular, when we know what we're going after, we're unstoppable. But especially that first transition out of the military, it can be disorienting, because it's like, what is my purpose? What am I going after? Is there anything that you found in your life that's helped you get that clarity? Is it a lot of like a gut feel of like, this now feels what is right? Or like, how do you approach those moments of clarity?
my moments of clarity are around daydreaming, sort of like creating things, and meaning like, you know, I didn't want to create a sports nutrition brand. I wanted to create a sports performance company that had not just supplements, but had gyms and had content, and it all was connected into one, you know, one thing. And I didn't want to create it around products that were, you know, schluffy, like, hey, take this and you're going to lose weight, or take this and you're going to be fast and muscular. I wanted to create it around inspiration and aspiration and living a driven lifestyle. And that idea came from daydreaming about what I wanted for my life. I wanted to live an inspiring life that had all those things within it. And I created a brand around the things that I wanted. And I think the authenticity of, you know, when something's really, really authentic to you, you're passionate about it, you believe in it. And, you know, it's the thing that you talk to your friends about where you get all excited. That's the area that you should be spending your time in, I think. And sometimes it's hard because you have a family and, you know, responsibilities, and you can't go start a business, or you can't change careers really fast. But back to the grit thing, like, if you want something, you will figure out how to get it. But you're only going to figure out how to get it if you actually know what you want. And I believe that means sitting down and thinking about the thing that juices you up the most and gets you the most excited about life, and put your energy and focus there. And I believe, then back to your other question around gut, your gut will guide you. It's the people that don't listen to their gut that try to either they don't listen to their gut because they're scared, and they don't ever venture to take a risk because that fear keeps them where they're at. And I'm sure there's a lot of people out there listening to this that think about, like, I wish I could be this, but oh, I can't do that. The reality is you can do anything that you want to do. And I really, truly believe that. It may mean that you can't do it as fast because you got a wife and a kid, and you got a husband and a kid, and you have to work to pay the bills. But if you know what you want, you plot a course to get it, you'll get it. I know that you will. I've seen it over and over. And in every instance in my life where things were the hardest, it's where the biggest payoff came, is when you're grinding in that the hardest parts of your life. They're not fun to be in. And anybody that's next to you when you're in that situation is saying, like, oh, you're going to get through it. You want to smack them sometimes. You're like, but the reality is, if you keep charging, you'll get through it and you'll get to where you want to go. And it wouldn't be worth it if it was easy. Nobody would, you know, you take it for granted if it's easy. So I think the hard things are the things that, you know, find something that inspires you and gets you excited, and find something that's really hard, mush them together, and that's probably where you're going to find a really great outcome in your life.
I love that. There's so much there to appreciate, but just a couple things I'll bookmark for listeners. I love this sense of clarity through daydreaming. I think that's really awesome. And I think that, I think for me, when I'm like putting my nose to the grindstone, daydreaming feels like a waste of time, but I love making that space to like figure out what's exciting me, and that sense of authenticity and excitement. I love that. And I love the way that you're pairing, you know, it sounds to me like pairing both passion and discomfort, passion and grueling experiences. And I think that's really incredible advice as well. Maybe we can insert here and give space to talk about FitOps and kind of lay the land for people, like, what is FitOps? What do you do there? And how can they understand what you're up to?
So about 3 years ago, I had transacted the company that I was the CEO of, called Performix, and still am. But it gave me space to be able to invest in something maybe of higher purpose, but also an area where I had just seen so much trauma, both in my own immediate network and in the community in general, and you know, the data around veteran suicide is just so massive. And you know, I wanted to build a program that had the ability to not just give something to vets, but help empower them, teach them, give them tools, and put them back out into the world. And so I took a group of you know, 30 vets that were in my network, either friends of friends or friends of friends or referral from somebody, and I rented a Boy Scout camp in Texas and flew everybody down there, brought my trainers in from my gym, Performance House in New York. And we lived on that camp for a month, and we beat the shit out of them physically, got them back in shape. And I really believe in the connection between mental health and physical health. I think it's an underlying issue in the veteran community that we all stop working out when we get out of the service. I get the notion that I don't have to work out anymore. I'm not fighting anymore. I'll take a PT test. But it's often that's where you really see some eroding from a mental health perspective. And so I thought that was a really important component to the program. So, we started doing 5 a.m. PT. It was similar to basic training, honestly. We brought in some of the best teachers in the world from a curriculum perspective and taught them to be personal trainers, not just from a fundamentals of physiology and biology perspective, but from a, how do you build a clientele? How do you interview for a job? How do you market yourself? How do you build a personal brand? All these different tools that I believe you need to be successful in the career, for a career in fitness and health. And then the last piece of the program was, how do we talk about the things that are holding us back? And I'm a really big believer in vulnerability and opening up and sharing the things that's hard. It allows you to, what we call unpacking your backpack, so that you're not carrying such a heavy load all the time. Most men aren't good at this. Women are a bit better at it, but women that have been traumatized are also not good at it. Or at least a lot of them are not. The program culminates at night. Hard training all day, hard both physical and mental training all day. And then at night after chow, we all get around a circle, either a campfire or if it's inside of a building, we just circle up, and there's a circle, it's called Circle of Tears. And on the first night, I go, or one of the other counselors at the camp go, and we get up and tell our story. And, the story usually is something to do with time in service. It could be combat trauma. It could be, trauma from family. It could be trauma from childhood. But the idea is to get up and share your story. And almost every night that ends in tears and not necessarily unhappy tears. It feels good to unburden yourself. And, the environment of FitOps created a safety where, I remember the very first performance talk, it actually happened. It was an impromptu. I got up and just started talking at the end of the day about how the day had impacted us and the work we were doing and it just sort of came out and I needed to unload some shit, and I did. And, I cried and then I see, probably 3/4 of the room crying with me. And I could tell the traumas that I had in my life that were resonating for some of those. I could see each person in out there who had a similar type of trauma, the way they were reacting. And it gave them then the confidence to get up the next day and do it themselves. And that has now become, I would say, the anchor point of FitOps in terms of the progression that you make on camp. And so, it's equal parts physical, mental, and emotional health. And after 30 days, they graduate with a personal training certificate from a nationally accredited agency like NASM. And then they also graduate with what we call a certified veteran fitness operative certificate from us, which basically means that you're ex-military, you're trained both in the fundamentals of personal training, the value from a coaching perspective of mental health, and you've been given tools of how to market yourself, how to be successful in a business, and how to grit through things. And so, the idea for us at camp, at FitOps Camp, is to give them new purpose and ability to serve through the power of fitness, and kind of replace that, the loss of hopelessness and drugs and alcohol and all the things that our community suffers from, by replacing it with the endorphins of exercise.
I love that. I think it's such a powerful mission, and I love your thoughts on vulnerability. And the last 3 or 4 years, I focused on a lot of men's groups work, which is similar to what you're describing in that evening session. And the thing that still strikes me as just so hard to get my head around is how, with both myself and other men I've observed, things that we are so hesitant to share, the parts of us that we're either ashamed of or that are so painful to share, that when we have the courage to share that, not only do people feel closer to us and more accepting, but like you said, it liberates something in them. It's a gift to others who can relate to that experience or might not have been able to put into words, or maybe felt really alone, feeling like they were the only one that carries that scar. And so I love the way that you've paired both like a crucible experience of extreme mental or extreme physical hardship with this then unburdening process. And I'm in a complete agreement with you about that relationship between mind and body and between physicality and our mental state and emotion. So I think it's really incredible. And for people listening that are interested, is there in what way can they get involved with FitOps or support what you're doing?
So it's a complete nonprofit. It doesn't cost anything to go to the camp. We pay for your flights, we pay for your food, we pay for your certificate, we pay to fly you home. You get gear, you get knowledge, you get everything. So it is for veterans who want to become personal trainers. It's not a camp away to go hang out with the boys. although it is an incredible experience and it'll change your life for sure. We want to find those who are looking for a new career, a new place to put their energy into that fills a gap that they feel through the inability to serve. And I think what makes the program so unique and special is that giving that ability to serve again. And so we want veterans who want to find that. So FitOps.org is where you apply. It's also where we take donations. My company and myself and my wife and John Cena, we've all sort of stood this up and funded it and got it. We've got 350 vets on the ground now. There's thousands waiting for a slot. We're going to fill that need here this year. But it's a incredible mission, and what we're looking for are veterans to come through the program, learn these tools, and then go back to their communities and do the same thing with other vets in their community, teach them the power of physical and mental health together.
That's awesome. And I'll put those links in the show notes at beyondtheuniform.org. So if you'd like to get involved or support them financially, you can do so. Could you share a little bit more? Amidst everything else, you're on the advisory council. You're an advisory council member on the President's Council on Physical Fitness and Sports. How did that come about and what's that look like?
President Trump saw the work we were doing with vets and there's a pretty big focus from the administration on Veterans Affairs and trying to fix that. So I was appointed 2 years ago, the work of the President's Council is largely around getting the youth of our country to get outside and get moving. And again, the power of physical fitness doesn't just mean for adults or veterans; it means for all people. A physically fit, physically healthy person is largely more healthy mentally. And so, we want our kids to be out moving and especially now with COVID, it's more challenging to get outside. But that work that the council does is really important. A lot of that stuff is, preparing for future generations. Some of the tactics that we have going on within the council now are based on things happening today, but largely it's strategizing and setting up a future so that the kids, as they grow up, have the ability to tap into and have resources to be physically fit and healthy.
That's awesome. I want to just give a little bit of space because there's so much you're doing. What else would you like listeners to know about your day-to-day life or where you're focusing your energy right now?
I'm largely about the work for others. So talk more about, work we're doing within the veteran community and trying to find, a way to reshape the way the, the civilian world looks at veteran population. I'd say that's sort of mission two for us is you know, largely a Taft Tyler Gray to help narrate that for us in that, you know, we want to change the perception of veterans and the veteran community around brokenness and you know, everybody thinks that vets are to be pitied in some way. And I think it's one of the biggest frustrations and struggles for the both for veterans and for civilians to understand that if you give a veteran pity for their service, you're basically running completely opposite of how they feel about their service. Meaning, if you served your country, you probably will never feel a higher calling other than maybe being a father or a mother to serve. And you know, it's really hard for a vet to understand why you would be pitying them for that. And so I think we need to reframe our desire to help. And it's not that the civilian population doesn't want to help. They're actually, they feel sorry for them because they think that they need something. And that's true. They need opportunities and they need understanding. You know, it's not dissimilar to some of the challenges we're seeing in some of the minority populations. You know, I think opportunities are what people are looking for. And our veterans are looking for opportunities. And, you know, I believe it's my job, at least as it relates to the fitness field, to give them opportunities in fitness. You know, one of the things that I'm working hard on now, I brought Command Sergeant Major Troxel onto our board. For those of you that don't know him, he spent 38 years in the military and rose to the highest rank possible, which is the SEAC, which is the Senior Advisor to the Joint Chief. His job was troop readiness, deployability, and making sure that the Joint Chiefs understood where the troops stood from a you know, full deployability perspective. That means physically, mentally, emotionally, culturally, everything as it relates to our ability to put our guys on minimum on the ground. You know, he retired in March of this year and quickly jumped right onto our chairman role and is now starting to do work, networking us into the DoD so that we can get our guys on base to train the current force on how to lift weights correctly. And, you know, it's going to be a really important part of our mission, which is to reduce veteran suicide. We're going to have our graduates who have been taught the importance of the balance of those three things, mental, physical, and emotional, on base, educating the currently enlisted soldiers. Then they're not going to fall down those paths when they get out because they've been mentored while they've been in service. So, you know, that's probably the next big part of the expansion of FitOps is getting a deal done with the DoD to put them on base. You know, and it's good for them. It's good for the foundation. It allows our guys, men and women, to get on base and get reacclimated back into being on installation, which feels honestly good to a vet. And it also allows them to serve again. In a full circle way, they're serving the currently enlisted force.
I love it. That's so so exciting. And I'll connect with Matt afterwards and get links about all of this. So for listeners, you can go to the show notes at beyonduniform.org. We'll have a wealth of information there so you can get more involved in either supporting or participating. One thing I wanted to ask about is if there's any recommended resources. That could be a book, podcast, movie, a program. I like, especially for listeners who are stationed overseas or somewhere else, to try to equip them with something that they could get their hands on in some way, digitally or physically, to deepen as a person or a professional.
Well, I think if you're listening to me, I'm big on the three components of physical, mental, and emotional. So, you know, if you know, for me in my space, my, you know, physical fitness is something that I pursue personally. Luckily for me, I have thousands of personal trainers in my network now. So many of them are vets. So I draw on training material from all of them. But you know, if I'm studying something about fitness, it's usually in the field of, you know, if I'm educating myself, it's usually in the field of the fundamentals of training and how it affects the mental side of life. I don't have a specific book because I just scour information from all over the place, but So from the physical side, that's what I would say. Mental side, there's a ton of amazing books out there. I think one of, not necessarily specific to the fitness field, but one of the books that made a big difference for me because I was young and trying to understand ego and all of those things, building a business and being successful came with a lot of attention that sometimes you don't want. The Dale Carnegie's book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, was a book for me that played a big role in my life. On the emotional side, I think, John Cena introduced me to this woman who's now, podcast. I think she's done one of the most successful TED Talks ever, named Brené Brown, and The Power of Vulnerability. And I think that was a really impactful, book, podcast, and speech for me. I just believe so much in the power of unlocking your own truest potential, and most of that, especially for men, is wrapped up in ego and insecurity. And I don't care who you are, if you're out there listening, and you, I'm sure you're cool, I'm sure you're tough, and all that shit. But if you're not in touch with the things that are vulnerable, and you're not open to sharing them, you're not going to grow. And I think inside of the lack of growth, you'll find struggle. And if you're not struggling, it's because you're not challenging yourself to grow. If that's where you're at, and comfort and complacency is what you want, then stick with that. But if you're, most human beings, I believe, are on this rock to grow and evolve and gain consciousness and become better. And I believe one of the biggest keys to that is unlocking the power of vulnerability and opening up some of these places you don't want to open up and talking about what's inside. And it will help you not only from a success and business perspective, but also just from a feeling, how you feel about yourself. And when you feel good about yourself and you love yourself, it allows you to help other people. And I think helping other people is probably the most rewarding thing you'll ever experience in your life, maybe outside of being a father.
Well, Matt, thank you for the work that you're doing. Thank you for the incredible advice and encouragement and inspiration in the words that you shared today. And thank you for taking the time to connect with the Beyond the Uniform audience.
Amazing. I really appreciate being able to share. Thanks so much.
Beyond the Uniform is written and produced by me, Justin Nasiri, with help from our Chief of Staff, Steve Bain, and our editor, Kathleen Dillon. We are an all-volunteer organization and would greatly appreciate your help in any of the following ways. First, spread the word. Beyond the Uniform has over 330 podcast episodes and 15 on-demand webinars, all offered for free. Help us spread the word on social media, at military bases, or whatever gets this resource in front of more men and women who need it. Positive reviews on iTunes go a long way towards this as well. Second, sponsorship. Beyond the Uniform relies on sponsorship to keep us going. There is so much more we'd like to do, but we don't have nearly the resources to do so. If you know of a company that would like to advertise in any way with Beyond the Uniform, please send them to beyondtheuniform.org. Third, donations. If you're in a financial position to donate, you can find more information on the support section of beyondtheuniform.org. At our website, beyondtheuniform.org, you'll also find 330-plus episodes categorized by industry, functional role, and more. You'll find a link for live events, typically 4 per month. You'll also find both free and for-purchase books that take a deeper dive on topics related to career growth. Thank you for your support as we aim to help members of the military and their families thrive in their post-military career and life.